Good evening, this is Diane Potofsky, and tonight is the fourth and final call of the series called 8 Steps to Building a Healthy Body and Adding Years to Your Life. This has started off as a 3-week series, but I really had too much information, so this fourth call is going to pretty much talk about supplementation and the importance of that step in building a healthy body. In the first week of this series, the first call, I talked about water and pH balance and where that was critical as far as how these aspects really impact your health. I then talked really about food balance, the balance between proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. That was pretty much all I talked in the second call. Third call, we talked about the effect that stress has on the body and the effect that sleep has, the importance of exercise, and then mental outlook, and that was the third call. So tonight I want to speak about the concept of supplementation and how that fits in to the building of a healthy body. In my estimation, all of these are very critically important. I don't really think that you can be healthy just by taking supplements without paying attention to your diet, and vice versa. I don't believe that a person can just eat a really good diet and not supplement. The government, the United States government, has been tracking soil conditions and food quality since the 20s. And one of the things, as far back as the 1930s, in government-printed brochures and bulletins that they put out, they were seeing a real decline in the nutrient value of food that was grown in this country. Now, this was back in the 30s. At this point, the soil is certainly not improved. Now, some farming, organic farming, certain types of farming, they do replenish the soils. There are certain things that are done, but basically, the soil has not improved. It's worsened, and it's especially worsened from the contamination from all the pesticides. So the reason that the government has paid so close attention to it, because way back, long time ago, when people were really having deficiencies in their diets and diseases were developing, they really looked into science, looked into what is some of the causative factors in certain diseases that are presented from nutrient deficiencies. And scurvy is one example. Vitamin C deficiency causes this. The disease called beriberi comes from a B vitamin deficiency. A vitamin deficiency, also vitamin D. So the government decided to set what they consider to be minimum daily requirements to prevent disease. And these were set, they've been done a few times, but not very recently, probably 30 years ago is as recent as they've been done. And when you look at a nutrient label and they tell you the percent of the daily value, that's what it's based on. Now, this is not based on what is optimal nutrient value, but what is the minimum daily value you need to prevent disease. So when a person says, well, I don't really need a supplement because I'm eating foods that have, you know, some vitamins and that should give me enough, what we need to understand is that our soil is not providing the tools to the food, and then for the food is really not providing the tools to our bodies. We need to understand that in this day and age with our lifestyles, we need optimal supplementation so that we can maintain a really highly functioning body. When the government back in the 50s realized that people were deficient in many different nutrients, they started to work with the food industry to fortify food or supplement food. I'm sure some of you remember iodized salt when that came on because of deficiencies that were causing thyroid diseases, goiters. Another nutrient that has been supplemented in food has been vitamin D, and that is akin to prevent rickets. Probably 15 years now, we've been seeing calcium supplemented in certain foods. Now there are all sorts of vitamins and minerals that are added to foods and waters and different drinks. And what we know is that our body's requirement for these nutrients are much more than just the disease-preventing levels. We need a lot more nutrients to keep our bodies running really quite at optimal. when a food is grown in soil and then they check the food for the nutrient value, if you were going to go to and look up how much vitamin C is in an orange, you would find that they say that an average orange size has got 60 milligrams. But in fact, in studies that I know I have participated in, we've seen as little as 10 to 15 milligrams of vitamin C present in an orange. Now, when you talk to people and they say to you, well, I eat a balanced diet, I don't need to take supplements. Balancing food is sort of, I mean, it's like what I presented in your second call. This is talking about balancing food in terms of fats and proteins and carbohydrates. That's what food balance is. The idea of getting the really proper levels of nutrients from our food is a completely different thing. Because food has so little actual nutrient value, you have to eat so very much of it to get the amount of nutrients. It's estimated in this day and age, in 2011, for you to get what the government said is the minimum daily requirements to prevent disease states, you'd have to eat over 4,000 calories a day. That's not giving you the actual proper levels of nutrients just so that you don't get beriberi and scurvy. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly want way more out of my supplement program than just not getting a disease. I want to have my body functioning optimally. So, people, we can't depend on eating high amounts of calories of foods. In fact, when you look at the food choices people make, I don't care if you ate 5,000 calories at McDonald's, you wouldn't get your minimum daily requirements of your nutrients, or from Taco Bell or any of the fast food places. When I do diet analysis and I look at people's diets and I see how much they eat out, I understand why they're sick. I know why they're not doing well. Look at their grocery baskets. All you have to do is look at a person's, what they're buying in the market, and look at them and you can just see directly what's happening. When we supplement our diets, what we're doing is we're adding to our bodies concentrations of nutrients that have been manufactured in a way in which our body hopefully can absorb them. There is a lot of controversy, and it has been going on for probably 40 years now, about synthetic vitamins and natural vitamins. When you look at something that has been supplemented, a food with a vitamin, that is 99% of the time going to be a synthetic material. One, because it's cheaper. It's more stable. If you were to supplement a nutrient and it comes from a natural source, it is not going to be as concentrated down as when they make nutrients from non-food sources. The way they manufacture a lot of drugs, the materials, the raw materials, is often the way they manufacture synthetic vitamins. When science realized that vitamin C had all these great values and all these wonderful properties, they started to investigate a real natural vitamin C molecule, and they found that it actually occurs in a complex, and that when science broke it down, they decided that one active ingredient in vitamin C was the most important, and that was ascorbic acid. So when vitamin C is manufactured by most companies, it is just ascorbic acid, and it comes from corn primarily, and not from oranges or grapefruits or green peppers or things that naturally contain a lot of vitamin C. And so they use a cheap source. They use an extraction process to create this. Now, they can also make it completely synthetic from material that comes from coal tar, like many drugs are made. Supplementing with things that are made from those sources is not the same as getting it like it would be from food. And that's what we really want to do. We want as close as possibly to get the nutrient from the way it is found in food. When B vitamins are in foods, they also occur in complexes. And when you look and break down, let's say, rice bran or some leafy green vegetable, something that contains B vitamins, you will find that there is an unequal ratio of the different Bs. There may about 20 Bs are found in the B complex. And you might find 1.5 milligrams of B1 and only 0.2 milligrams of B2. there could be as much as 5 milligrams of B3. And the ratio in which the bees are in that food is the proper ratio for us to absorb that B vitamins. If you would understand the absorption in our small intestines, we have absorption sites more for B1 and 3 than we have for B2. We have more for B6 than we have for B3, and that is because in the biochemical pathways in our body, we need those nutrients more, so we absorb them more. And in the B vitamins, the way they occur in nature, that's the way we should be taking them. If you go to a health food store or Costco's or the drugstore, any place you will look for B vitamins, and most of them you will find will say Super Bees, B50s, B100s, and if you look at the label, you'll find that all the Bees are the exact same amount. That is not the way you should take them, because that's not the way they occur in nature. The thing that so many people don't understand is that just because a label says a nutrient contains that on the bottle, it doesn't mean that you can absorb that. If it is not in proper ratio and balance, you don't absorb it, and it's a waste of time. And in some cases, it can actually put stress on the system, especially if it's made from synthetic sources. Nutrients can be valuable tools for you to use daily for yourselves and your children to make sure that you're getting the really optimal level of these small materials that you need. But if you are shopping by purely price, then I'm afraid what you're going to end up with are synthetic materials, things that have been man-made and put together in a way in which they think they should be made instead of the way they were made by nature. When I started in my field, I had 2 degrees in nutrition before I went to naturopathic medical school, and I found it to be fascinating. My degrees are in clinical nutrition, and I worked and did a lot of lab work and worked with individuals in studies with nutrient absorption, and I spent a lot of years really looking at the ability of a body to utilize synthetic vitamins and then natural vitamins. And you do that by assaying the byproducts that come out, meaning that if you urinate the product away, you're not absorbing it. And so I personally know this to be true because I've worked with this in a lab setting. So the value of nutrients in supplementation, I think, is something that most people, I think, do believe in. But I think most people are very much buying nutrients by their cost. And it's worth buying a little bit of a good natural nutrient because your absorption will be sometimes 100 times more than the synthetics. So you really are not going to get much out of it if you can't absorb it into your cells. So my idea of supplementation is one that we work on a really good balanced diet in terms of your food groups, but we need to make sure that very specific tools are coming into the system regularly. Now, some of the nutrients that are important to pay attention to, vitamin A and or beta-carotene. Now, vitamin A is what we call a fat-soluble vitamin, and it is different than beta-carotene. Beta-carotene is from a plant source, and it is not does not have the ability to build and store in the body. You'll find that a lot of multivitamins will have both vitamin A and beta-carotene in them, and that's because they actually do work a bit different. It is perfectly fine to take as much beta-carotene as you want, 50,000 units a day if you wanted to, but vitamin A you have to be a little careful with. You need it for your eyes. You need it for your skin. Beta-carotene is very, very much one of our antioxidants. If you've listened to my cancer series, I've talked a lot about antioxidants. These are things that help to break down and destroy free radicals so they don't cause the cancer to begin with. Beta-carotene is a powerful antioxidant. It's excellent for the lungs, and it's a nutrient that our body uses in many different biochemical pathways. In taking a good multi, a person can get most of the vitamin A and beta-carotene that they need. If you do supplement, though, be careful of straight vitamin A. You don't want it to build up. It is a fat-soluble vitamin, meaning that it doesn't wash out of the system like your water-soluble vitamins. So you do have to be careful. So if you feel you want more benefit from the beta-carotene, that would be fine to take great amounts of it if you wish. Well, with vitamin A, I would say you really safely don't want to exceed more than 20,000 units a day. With beta-carotene, you can go much higher. I have know many people that take 50,000 every day, sometimes even more, depending on troubles they're having with their eyes or different areas. Another vitamin that you want to include in your basic supplement program every day is vitamin C. There's been more published about vitamin C than any other nutrient. Vitamin C has some of the most miraculous powers because it has such a profound effect on the immune system. Many people only take vitamin C when they feel sick. That's sort of not really the best way to take it. If you took it daily, it can actually improve your overall immune system and prevent you from getting sick. Certainly, we know that if you take vitamin C at the onset of the beginning of an illness, it can greatly reduce the duration of the illness and the severity of it. And it's fine to increase your C when you get sick, but taking it daily is the key thing here. It's all part of the prevention. It's a great antioxidant. Now, vitamin C is also able to help lower our cholesterol. Vitamin C is a very important component for the integrity and the quality of our thyroid function. We know that vitamin C deficiencies can lead to low-functioning thyroids. We know that vitamin C has an effect on our vascular system. It can actually help strengthen the smallest vessels, especially our veins. And so people that tend to get nosebleeds and hemorrhoids and varicose veins and spider veins can really get great benefit from higher levels of vitamin C. Vitamin C is a water-soluble vitamin, so that means it's very important to take it throughout the day rather than just once a day in the morning. This one-a-day concept is just really not good for most nutrients. When you talk about natural vitamins, you're not talking about highly concentrated products. You're talking about products that come from nature in their natural ratios. And so taking them more repetitively through the day, you'll get so much benefit. That is especially true with your B vitamins and vitamin C. These wash out of the system very, very quickly. So vitamin C levels, I would say, depending on your level of activity, most of you should really consider about 1,500 milligrams a day. That's minimal. And depends on how active you are. If you're a very physically active person, you really want to take more than that. If you're a person, you're like a teacher, you spend a lot of time with people, you really want to take more to keep the immune system stronger. Don't be afraid of using vitamin C. It is not going to harm you. You can take 10,000 milligrams a day if you want. But 1,500 to 3,000, depending on your lifestyle. If you know your immune system is very weak, then you should take higher levels until that immune system picks up. If you're sick, take more. The only real thing that vitamin C can cause adversely is it can loosen the stools. So if you are jumping on a lot of vitamin C because you're not feeling good, you might end up with very loose stools and a lot of gas. Then just back down. But you want to know that vitamin C is critical for many metabolic pathways. Your body uses that. Vitamin C used to be, they believe, anthropologists, researchers believe that vitamin C was manufactured by the body like animals do. But no longer do they feel that our body's capable of it. They guesstimated that the body probably manufactured in a 24-hour period 3,000 milligrams. So you may want to think about that as setting your goals. Again, at least 1,500, maybe up to 3,000, depending on your general lifestyle. Now, I've mentioned B vitamins before. These are also water-soluble, and they're primarily 20 major B vitamins. There are some more minor ones. But B complex is the way you take your B vitamins. And again, you want to understand that we don't take highly potentized B-complex. When you look at a label of a good natural B-complex, you'll see that there'll be a very broken down ratios. There won't be the same even amounts. You won't find 25 milligrams, 50 milligrams, 100 of all of them straight down the row. You'll find them in their natural ratio if they are a good natural B-vitamin complex. Now, Bs, what they do for you is they really help your energy levels. They give the body a lot more get up and go. They help your overall stamina. We find that Bs replenish the adrenal glands, and this is why it helps with especially stamina. Our adrenal glands get very overworked because of too much stress, and so nutrients that can replenish them faster will help our bodies have better long-term stamina. So B's and C's really together really boost up the function of the adrenals. B vitamins are used in more pathways in the body than any other nutrient. So many vital functions of making DNA and RNA and making collagen and making so many different functions happens because of the ability of the B vitamins can do. Without B vitamins, we have certain heart risk factors. We know that there is a byproduct manufactured in the body called homocysteine. And if you take a B complex, which contains three specific B vitamins, it will be able to reduce that and really risk your get rid of a big risk with heart disease. So homocysteine levels can be reduced from taking B vitamins. Again, when you take B complex, you want to think of them as a complex. You want to think of taking them throughout the day. Now, you know, if your job is picking seashells on the seashore, then you probably don't have a lot of stress. And probably you don't need a lot of B complex. But if you are a person who has got a busy lifestyle, a full life, you're raising children, you've got a job, you're helping your parents, you've got just all the activities that we have piled up on us, you're the person who needs to really supplement with B's with every meal. So consider taking some B complex with each one of your meals, and again, in a low potency form. B vitamins are something that if you take the natural B vitamins, they will turn your urine a darker color. I know when I spoke to you about water, I talked about the urine being, if it's very, very dark, it will, in fact, indicate that you're not drinking enough water. One thing, though, B vitamins do color the urine, and they will make it a brighter yellow in general. So one of the things I know is when I'm under stress and if I'm not taking enough B's, I know my urine gets very clear. And then I know, oh, I better take some more because I'm using them up so fast. So remember, you're not urinating it away when you see that color. It's just the material that the B vitamins excrete that makes it that way. So B vitamins will darken the urine, but not to the point where it will look really, really dark when it is that you're not drinking enough water. So B vitamins help with energy. The interesting thing about B vitamins and using it in programs, I work with lots of children with ADD and ADHD, hyperactivity, will use B vitamins to actually calm them down. If you know anything about the drug therapies that are used, they use amphetamines for hyperactive children because it works the opposite way, and so do B vitamins. B vitamins can calm down a hyper child. So don't be afraid to use that if your child is hyper, thinking, oh, it's going to give them more energy. That's the last thing I want. So B vitamins are something that are safe to use. You can use them with your children. There's really nothing to worry about. They are not a fat-soluble nutrient. Now, vitamin E is a fat-soluble nutrient, and it is something that is, when you think of vitamin E, you should think of two areas of your bodies, your cardiovascular system, which includes, of course, your heart and your blood vessels, and then your hormonal system. Vitamin E is very specific at its ability to help the heart. The heart muscle is different than your skeletal muscles, and it responds faster to vitamin E than any other part of your body does. And that's a really great thing because it can strengthen the heart. What we know about vitamin E is it helps the heart to work less hard and produce more. So we get more out of our heart, and it doesn't have to work as hard when you take vitamin E. Vitamin E is something that can improve many different really difficult and challenging cardiovascular diseases. We know that vitamin E will improve the circulation because it acts as a vasodilator. It's able to open up the blood vessels. Most everything we do in our daily life constricts our blood vessels. And think of it as just a pipe running through. And you know, if you were able to take a plastic pipe and squeeze it, what would happen is the pressure inside that fluid going through there would go up. And that's what happens when people are under stress. Their blood vessels constrict. If people smoke, it constricts their blood vessels. Certain drugs will actually constrict the blood vessels, both street drugs and also pharmaceutical prescription drugs. This is not healthy for our vascular system. This makes it very hard on our heart. We get circulatory problems. It gives us a higher risk for strokes. So anything that can open up and dilate the blood vessels is something you want to take every single day as an adult, because we're always under stress. And some of us have some bad habits like smoking and using drugs, which compounds that. So vitamin E is a vasodilator, so that's going to be just great for the heart. So it strengthens the heart. It acts as a vasodilator to improve the total circulation. Now, if a person suffers from high blood pressure, this is coming from something. Something is causing it. It can be stress constricting the vessels. It could be high cholesterol, triglycerides. But what you need to understand is if you take vitamin E and you have high blood pressure, go very slowly with it. Take very small amounts, build up to the level you want, doing that slowly. You don't want to start off with 800 milligrams, a day. What you want to do is start off perhaps 200 milligrams or 100 milligrams of vitamin E. You can buy some, get the 400s and break them in half and do 200. And stay on that for between 2 weeks and 4 weeks, and then increase slowly. Now, if you don't have high blood pressure, you can start up with 400 units of vitamin E and build up. A good level for adults is about 800. Now, if you do have some weakness in your heart, you've got some cardiovascular problems, you really want to think about going to 1,200. I'll talk about hormones in a minute, and that's a really can be even a need greater than that. So vitamin E for the heart is something that can actually help blood pressure, but you want to take it slowly and build it up. Vitamin E is something, again, that is fat-soluble, so you want to be somewhat careful. There are very few cases of toxicity of vitamin E that have ever been reported in the United States. So vitamin E can also have great benefit for the hormone system, for women and men. We know that menopause is something that's greatly benefited from vitamin E, PMS troubles for women, low sperm count for men, low mobility for men. We know that women that miscarry, vitamin E can reverse that sort of problems. Vitamin E is just a magical product for the hormonal system. When you take vitamin E, it knows how to balance out the sexual hormone parts of the body. And so it's something that can give great relief to a lot of anxiety and depression and physical problems that come from hormonal imbalances. So vitamin E with hormones, you may want to really consider going as high as to 1,200 to 1,600 units to help improve the imbalance, and then you can reduce it. I work with a lot of MS patients, and we use huge amounts of vitamin E, 2,400, sometimes even more, vitamin E units every day to dissolve the scars in the nerve bundles to improve the pathways. It's amazing what it can do. Vitamin E dissolves scars anywhere in the body. So if you have a scar internally in the body, a lot of people, if they've ever had surgery, will form a lot of adhesions, they call that, which is nothing more than scar tissue. Vitamin E can dissolve that. If you have scar tissue on the outside of your body from an injury, a cut, or something has happened, vitamin E topically can really lower, you'll just reduce it. You can see it just going down. The scar tissue gets broken down. Vitamin E is something that helps any kind of scarring, from acne scars to keloid scars, all sorts of things like that. We can use it topically. But vitamin E for people that tend to get adhesions, people that have trouble with endometriosis, things where scar tissue forms, it's amazing what it can do. I've seen women with, you know, terrible endometriosis use vitamin E with the mineral selenium, and it can really dissolve it. So vitamin E is one of my favorite nutrients, and I suggest if you want to build a healthy body, you supplement with that every day. Now, vitamin D is another vitamin that is a fat-soluble vitamin. And until recently, people were very afraid to use vitamin D. Until recently, the levels of vitamin D were considered to be normal, were hundreds of times lower than they are now. So if you currently get a blood test and your doctor tests you for vitamin D, believe me, you will come out be low, because everybody's being tested and showing low because they've raised the level so high that nobody was supplementing anywhere near the amount that they needed to. And this is the great thing about nutritional science, is that it's constantly looking at these things, and they're constantly making additions and adjustments. And it's a great thing, because vitamin D has a great deal to do with many different pathways in the body. It has a great deal to do with bone absorption, preventing bone loss. Vitamin D is something that we know helps prevent certain types of cancers, especially colon and rectal cancers. And the fear that people had about vitamin D is one that it was easily, you could get toxic from it. But now we really know that you can take, you know, some people take 50,000 units if for certain reasons. Now that's an enormous amount. But taking 1,000 or 1,000 units of vitamin D now is really in the normal range, where before it was like 400 was considered the normal range. So you can easily take a couple thousand units of vitamin D every day in your program. It's a very strong immune booster. It has a great deal to do with supporting the immune function. It has a great deal to do with the function of the skin, with the bones. So there's a lot of things that vitamin D does. And now that we can safely take the levels that are really optimal, I think people's health are going to improve. So again, we don't have to have that fear. It is fat soluble. We don't have to have that fear anymore, because we really know you can take so much more, and that's going to get us closer to our optimal health that we're looking for. Some of the minerals that are key in a body's building program is going to be zinc. When I do my testing with my electromagnetic equipment, we look at nutrient values in the body. We look at we assess your vitamin and mineral levels. And the number one nutrient that comes out low is zinc. And zinc is, like B vitamins used, it's the most used mineral in those biochemical pathways in the body, meaning it's used for accelerating and completing so many other processes that go on in the system. Zinc is something that if you don't supplement, you can have a lot of difficulties. If you're a man with prostate trouble, skin has a great deal to do with our eyes. It has a great deal to do with our skin. We know that zinc is something that we lose through perspiration, and so we need to make sure that we are taking enough. So if you are really athletic or you have a job where you're sweating a lot, you're going to lose your zinc. You have to replace it. One of the things about zinc deficiency that I always love is that if you have really smelly feet, you probably have a zinc deficiency. And I've seen it over and over again. When somebody has really bad foot odor, you put them on zinc, takes care of it. So that's one thing. So just if you have clean socks and your shoes are not really old and they're fairly clean, but your feet still smell, then I would say that you have to consider that you might have a zinc deficiency. Zinc is one of the things that helps prevent prostate cancer. It is a really important mineral in helping the immune system function. Zinc is something that kids need. We need to supplement children. By the time they're 6, 8 years old, they should be making sure they're getting zinc in their programs. Zinc is something that is used so much in the body and is so unavailable in food. Very, very hard to get it in food, and that's why I think in my testing it comes out the most efficient. So zinc levels, I would say for adult women, 30 milligrams, men, 45 milligrams a day. And children, of course, lower levels of that. But 30 to 45 milligrams a day, very important. Make sure that you're taking it regularly. The other two minerals that kind of always call them together and talk about them together are calcium and magnesium, because naturally in food, what we find calcium and magnesium, we will find them together in a proper ratio. So if you look at dairy foods, if you look at leafy green vegetables, there are all sorts of sesame seeds are really high in calcium. When you look at anything that contains calcium, you're going to find magnesium. And you're going to always find it in nature in a 2-to-1 ratio, basically. You're going to find twice the calcium to the amount of magnesium. And what you need to understand about this is that that ratio is key for absorption. Back to the idea of how we absorb through the small intestines, you've got to have the proper ratio. Years ago, I was giving my my grandmother, she took supplements for years, and I was using Shaklee vitamins and had been using them, and I had given her a calcium product, and she was doing really well with it, and the company switched the product that she was using, and they switched to something else, a different formula, and that formula didn't have very much magnesium. But we switched her over to it, and she went on it, and within 8 weeks, she had a bone spur. My grandmother walked a lot, and this was a sign that she was, in fact, deficient in her calcium. And I had her on the same milligrams of calcium, but the amount of magnesium in that product was so much less that she wasn't absorbing it. We turned around and got some of the older product. In fact, they brought that other product back online and replaced it with a new one. And we got rid of the bone spur, and it took us probably a total of 12 weeks to get rid of it. But we were very careful from that point on to make sure. But that when things like this happen, it's such a great learning tool to really see, because you can't dispute it when you see it in a human live body. So the magnesium is part of the absorption. Now, magnesium alone has many great properties. Both of these minerals are excellent for the heart. Magnesium, really great for the heart. Both of these minerals will help bone integrity. But these together, when we talk about taking together, it really is important to get the proper ratio. Now, some people do have challenges absorbing calcium, and sometimes if they even up their magnesium to almost a 1-to-1 ratio, they will do better. Magnesium really relaxes your muscles and things like that. So we want to really sort of pay attention. If you are taking calcium and you still have deficiency symptoms, eye twitching and muscle twitching, if you've had bone tests and you're still showing that you're losing bone density, then, you know, think about, first of all, you make sure you're on a proper nutrient quality-wise, and then the amount of milligrams. But, you know, consider possibly adding extra magnesium, which you can do, so that you're getting maybe even more than the 2-to-1 ratio, closer to a 3-to, you know, getting closer to a 1-to-1 ratio. One thing about magnesium, though, it stimulates the bowels, and if you take too much magnesium, you will get extremely loose stools and, in fact, you know, sometimes diarrhea. So that's one thing to be cautious of. The amount of calcium you need, depending on your age and your sex, if you are a woman who is under 40, then you probably need about 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams of calcium a day. If you're a woman over 40, and especially if you are postmenopausal, you really need 1,500 milligrams. And in some cases, if you tend to have a tendency towards bone loss or you have a history of osteoporosis in your family, you're very small-boned, you may even need to go up as 2,000 milligrams of calcium. And whatever amount of calcium you take half the amount of magnesium. Now, in a proper product, they'll come together like that. It'll be calcium-magnesium. So you will find that if you're taking 1,000 milligrams, then your magnesium should be close to the 500 milligram range, not less. More would be better. And the same thing is if you're taking 12, you're taking 600. If you're taking 1,500, then it's 750. So the 2-to-1 is what you want to consider. Now, we do need other minerals. And if you take a good multivitamin mineral, which you should, to sort of set the tone for the base for our nutrient levels, most multis are going to contain some potassium and manganese. Now, if you are a person who tends to be concerned about joint health, you are worried about arthritis, you have sinus problems, you tend to get allergy problems, there is a source of trace minerals that can be great value, and that's called alfalfa. And that is something you might want to consider to put in a basic program, is alfalfa. Alfalfa is a plant that contains all the trace minerals, and it's very green, which makes it very, very good for the body because it's very alkaline. Remember we talked about acid alkalinity. Alfalfa is a great source of an alkaline. It's really considered a food, but it is in the nutrient form. Now, alfalfa comes in pretty small little tablets when you take them, and so one or two of those a day isn't really going to do much. You might want to think about maybe 4 to 5 with a meal. Now, that might sound like a lot to you, but it's not. It's just that gives you trace minerals, but this is something that, again, can be of great value for people with arthritis, allergy problems, sinus problems, and just a great source of general trace minerals and alkalinity. We don't want to forget our fatty acids. The primary fatty acids are omega-6s and omega-3s. You can get that in a GLA, gamma linoleic acid, or EPA. Now, these are two different sources, and you want to make sure you do get some of that in your daily supplement program. Some fatty acids, both the omega-6 and the omega-3s, and those are in the form of GLA and EPA. Everybody needs fatty acids, and I talked about that when I talked about the need for eating fats. But you can get some from food. It is possible if you eat a lot of fish, you can get quite a bit of EPA. But a lot of people don't really eat the amount of fish. For one thing, it's very expensive. I'm always amazed at the price of fish. I live in Florida, and the price of fish here is just, it's just as high as it is anywhere, even though they catch it, a lot of it right here. But that's sort of one of the challenges. And then there are some people that don't really like fish. But fish, one of the main things that fish can give us, nutrient-wise, is fatty acids, especially salmons. If you can eat mackerel, sardines have a lot of the omega-3s. And so fatty acids are something that when you think about their function in the body, they really help your hair and your skin and your those parts of your body. They are critical, especially the omega-3s from fish, that source, or from flax, it would be also helps the heart. It's one of the main things that helps to lower cholesterol and specifically raise the HDL ratio, which means the good cholesterol gets better and the low cholesterol gets lower. And that's a great thing to reduce your risk factors for heart disease. So especially the omega-3s. The omega-6, which is the GLA, is we use a lot in talking about hormones because it has a great deal to do with the ability of the body to make prostaglandins, which are the sisters to the hormones. So GLA helps with the beginning producing of hormones. And also GLA is also very valuable for people that have inflammatory problems. It's really good for inflammatory skin disorders. Both EPA and GLA can be great for people that have psoriasis, any kind of inflammatory skin problems. But these are fatty acids that you want to make available to your body in the form of supplements daily. Now, one thing that I do want to consider a supplement, and that's fiber. Every day, adults need to really be looking at getting about 30 grams of fiber a day. Now, you get fiber in your food, that is true, but not if you eat hamburgers and pizza and spaghetti and tacos. You don't get fiber. You get fiber from eating whole grains and beans and legumes and vegetables. That's where we get our fiber. And so you have to be realistic about your diet. Are you eating enough fibrous foods? Eating more vegetables is going to help. Having beans and lentils as side dishes can be great. Make sure your rice is brown rice or wild rice. Do oatmeal instead of box cereals that are all refined. Try to understand when you're reading a label, look for fiber per serving so that you can kind of increase it. Fiber is one of the things that helps prevent colon and rectal cancer. Fiber is one of the things that helps to prevent liver cancers. Fiber is one of the things that keeps your bowels moving that prevents toxicity. Fiber is also great for lowering cholesterol, especially certain types of fibers. Fiber can be used very successfully also in supplement form, meaning that you can put powdered fibers in your shakes. You can sprinkle some fiber on your cereal. You can take fiber capsules or tablets. So you can supplement as well as getting it from your food. And the benefit from fiber is that, of course, that, like I said, it's going to help protect many of your body organs because it's going to help the toxicity get reduced by increasing your bowel function. One thing about fiber, it's really going to absorb water. So you have to increase the amount of water that you drink every day when you add more fiber. You might find that when you start eating higher fiber foods, especially grain fibers, especially like bran fibers from cereals and things like that, that you get gassy. A lot of people get very gassy if they start eating beans. Go slow with it. Start with small amounts. Don't go with a plate of beans the first day out. You want to just sort of ease into fiber and at the same time bring that water level up. Excuse me. You want to get fiber, again, in small doses to begin with, and then work on adding more. Look at the food that you eat. You can easily figure out the fiber content. If it's a packaged food, it'll tell you. If it's fresh vegetables or things, you can look at that up. There are books that food composition books. You can look it up on the internet, and you can find out how much fiber you are getting. Your goal really needs to be 30 grams. Now, children need fiber, not that much, but children should also be getting fibrous foods for the same reasons, you know, absolutely the same reasons. Now, those nutrients that I just mentioned are nutrients that I consider to be very basic nutrients. Now, I haven't talked about brands of supplements on purpose, and I wanted to wait till I got to the end of this to just sort of bring this point up. My business is I work to help people as a physician to work with their bodies, learning what's going on. I try to coach people. We do the diagnostic technique of the electromagnetic test. I set up programs for people. I work mostly with people that are sick. I love working with people that are well. It's really a lot more fun. But, of course, most people that are motivated to get help have a problem, and that's fine. I love to do it. I've been in practice for 28 years. In the early years of my working in with nutrition, back when I was working with getting my bachelor's and master's degree in nutrition, again, I was mentioning that I did work in clinical settings. And one of the things that came up, because we were studying absorption of nutrients and we were studying the amount of nutrients that were in food, was the idea that people aren't getting the proper level of nutrients and we do need to supplement. And I started to experiment and with different nutrients. And one of the small studies that I actually did in school was to test the absorption of vitamin C in a synthetic form, purely synthetic form of ascorbic acid, and a natural form. And in the searching for a natural form, this was over 30 years ago, I came across Shaklee's Vitamins. And they're a company that, among other companies that I had tested. And so making the decision I was going to use them as my natural nutrient, I conducted a study where I looked at a common group of people, meaning same basic age, same basic lifestyle. These were women in college. And we were asking them to take vitamin C and to collect their urine 24 hours a day. We gave them these big, huge bottles, and we made these cute little wraps so they could carry them around in school all day long. And they collected their urine, and we measured it every day. And we were looking at how much vitamin C they were excreting. And this was something we did for a period of 7 days. And we gave them 1,500 milligrams of vitamin C to take, and we were measuring their excretion. The women that took the vitamin C that was synthetic excreted at least 70% of it. The women that took the natural vitamin C excreted less than 20%. That was something that really profoundly affected my understanding of natural versus synthetic. There was no reason for a person to take a synthetic vitamin if it's not going to be used. So one of the things that I started on exploration is really looking into product lines to use with patients and figure out what was going to work. And I kept coming back to Shaklee's products and started using them over 30 years ago myself. I've given them to my families to use for all those years. And one of the things is I don't sell their products. I don't distribute their products. I never have. I've kept a completely distance from that because I always want to be objective. And I do test their products all the time. I continue to test their old standards, and I continue to test their new products that come out. And consistently, I find them to be a product line that I can use for my basic supplements. Now, working with people that are ill, there's often times that we need extra special tools, different things, homeopathics, different kinds of herbs and things that they don't make. And so I will use other product lines for those specialty, but my basic programs, the basic tools that you need for the healthy body is going to be products that you can find in the Shaklee line. I would really consider starting with their multivitamins called Vitalee. This is a great product. This gives you a baseline to start with. It gives you some of your vitamin A and your beta-carotene. It has some B-complex in it, not a lot, but some. It has some calcium, some magnesium. It's a great place to start. They have now a kind of convenient material put together that they call Vitalizer Strip. And this is something that's more than just the multi, but it's a more convenient way to take a lot of these nutrients that I've just mentioned. So you might want to look into a Vitalizer Strip as being part of building this healthy body. Start with that, look at what's in there, and see for your specific body what you may need to supplement. If you're a woman who is over 40, you are going to need more calcium that's in there. If you've got particularly some challenges with your immune system, you may consider to take more vitamin C. If you need more energy, you might need more B's in that. But that's a good starting point. And some of the other products that they make that I think that you may want to consider is Optiflora, which is a great probiotic material. They also sell a prebiotic with it. This is something that puts the good flora in our guts, which protects us against overgrowth of organisms. It's something that's the baseline of the immune system. If you listen to my cancer series, I talk a lot about this. One of the herbs that is a great herb for blood pressure regulation, for lowering cholesterol, for the ability to fight infection, it kills every kind of organism there is. It kills yeast, it kills viruses, it kills bacteria, it kills parasites, it's garlic. Garlic is the greatest gift as far as an herb goes that God ever gave us. And it's something that we can use safely every day to help keep us well, especially in the wintertime if you live in the cold climate, especially if you work around a lot of other people, if you're a teacher. You can take this garlic, and it doesn't have a strong odor like eating garlic, and that's something. Three other products that I think are brilliant are Core Energy, Stress Relief Complex, and Nutriferon. One of the strengths of Shaklee is their ability to combine ingredients, to create a synergy, to create something that the individual products cannot do alone. This is truly one of their very, very highest levels, I think, of their science. I think all the R&D, all the research and development they do, I think really has paid off in these combination products, Core Energy, Stress Relief, and Nutriferon. Core Energy is something that I use every day because I want long-term stamina. It replenishes the adrenals. It works with the B's and C's. It does give you daily energy, but it's more for the long haul. If you want to have really good long stamina, I work all day, and three nights a week I teach dance for 4 to 4.5 hours. I don't have any problem doing that. I can get up and do it the next day. That's because I have stamina. That's different than just energy. And Core Energy is something I'd never give up because I know that really makes a big difference for me. Now, Stress Relief Complex is something that does something completely different. It is something that reduces the excessive amounts of cortisol that are surging through the body. When a person is under stress, their brain perceives the stress, physical, mental, emotional stress. The brain signals the adrenals to put out stress management hormones. If you're under stress too long, too often, too much, like I talked about last week, then you need to reduce the cortisol levels. Changing lifestyle is critical. Exercising is critical. But this product called Stress Relief Complex is just a tremendous tool that can reduce the cortisol. So taking this throughout the day can make a difference in keeping you feeling much calmer. When your body is producing too much cortisol, in the long run, it will exhaust you and you will not have energy. So stress has to be managed properly, so these tools like B's and C's and stress management can make a difference. Nutriferon is the product that they developed to stimulate the blood cells, the white blood cells, to help the immune system. When you are thinking about immune boosting, Nutriferon is the product to think about. Nutriferon is not something that you just take when you get sick. The best way to take Nutriferon, in my opinion, and this is maybe a little different than the way Shackley talks about it on the labels, my opinion is to take a lot, a high amount, for a 12-week period of time to boost up the immune system, give it a big boost. For an example, in the beginning of the fall or the end of the summer, start to take, as an adult, 6 Nutriferon a day for a period of 12 weeks. Try to take it throughout the winter time. That will do a great deal to boost up the immune system. Same thing if you have allergies. Take it before allergy season starting so it really gets your immune system in gear. If you have children, don't be afraid of it. Give them plenty, more than you would think, 1 a day or 2 a days. You can't harm yourself with it. But Nutriferon can also be used if you get sick. If you have allergies, it can be used to also help you boost you right at that time. But you don't want to just take it then. You want to really take it on a cycle. I know people take 2 a day all the time, but I don't think you get, in my opinion, the benefit out of it as much as you do when you take it in a big boost. So my feeling is to take 12 weeks on, 12 weeks off, 12 weeks on, 12 weeks off, or at least 12 weeks once a year at that level. And I think you'll get tremendous value from it, and you'll see the difference. I think it's very, very noticeable. It's getting close to the end of my hour, so I need to wrap this up. I hope that you can understand the importance of supplementation. Without it, I don't think there's any way a body can be healthy. In the same way, remember, you have to eat properly. You have to get enough water. We need to pay attention to our stress levels and our sleep. The tools that I talked about today, these 4 weeks, these 8 steps, are, I hope, things that you can take to consideration and to heart. Think about where you can make these changes. Be proactive making these changes. Set yourself some goals for not only yourselves but your children. We need to educate these children early. We need to help them understand that even though they don't see sickness or any problems, it's all about teaching them what they need to do to stay well. Most of us, our bodies can maintain pretty well up till they're 40. And, you know, people always say, oh, I fell apart when I turned 40. Well, the truth is, after living 40 years, your body's been functioning for 40 years, the machine starts to wear out, and without tools, you cannot imagine how it's going to be able to do anymore. It can't keep working at the level because the body, as it ages, it doesn't have the ability to recover. It isn't able to do without like it did at one time. So supplementing with nutrients, paying attention to your diet and water becomes more important as you get older, and certainly can be something that you can see the benefit in, not just more years to your life, but more healthy years to your life. Because isn't that what we want? We don't care about living to 100 if we're not healthy. We want to live long, healthy years. I will continue my conference calls. I will be doing 2 every month. You can hear the subjects if you will contact the sales leaders who've invited you on this call. My office will know the subjects. My office number is 615-904-6000. I am available to do counseling with you. I am available to do electromagnetic testing and set up programs for you. If you want more information on that, contact Mike at my office. Again, 615-904-6000. The people, my team leaders that I'm working with throughout North America, have that information as well. They can also get you in touch with my office and guide you along. My goal here is to hopefully motivate you to get going and to make some changes. You're the person who's in control of your health. As a mom and dad, you are responsible to try to help your children learn as well. So take those steps. Take these 8 steps and start building the healthy body that you've always wanted. Thank you and good night.